Hello friends, here we are again. I'm covering chapter number 8 in the Performance Management Systems and Rewards Program. This chapter is covering rewards management and linkage to the performance. A little detailed, and we need to know how this is being done. On one hand, we got the PMS, Performance Management System. On the other hand, we have the rewards system. So in the rewards management, you have to link it with the performance. Like I've been mentioning in the earlier slides, performance has got two sides, the measurable and the immeasurable. Now linking that, both of them together will give you the total performance. This total performance needs to be rewarded, not just the output in measurables. Let me repeat again. In the past, rewards have been given only to measurables, not to the efforts. In a total performance management system, we give weightage to both. Measurable is easy, but the immeasurable we have to also determine. So this module is making an attempt to bring them together so that when I create a reward system for you, it is fair and square. I reward you not only for the deliverables which are measurables, but also for the deliverables which are not measurable. That's a basic purpose. Let's see how it runs. Learning objective to gain an understanding of linkage of pay to performance measurement. Understand and gain insights into the various approaches adopted by Indian companies to establish linkage of performance to pay. Understand the relationship of rewards and performance. Understand the mechanism for management of the rewards in various organizations. Learn the tools and techniques to differentiate performers and non-performers. Understand the mechanics of total rewards optimization. Understand the approaches adopted by companies across the globe to build an irascible organization for employees through robust performance and rewards framework. The structure and the contents of the chapter runs as follows. Linkage of pay to performance. Insight into performance, into perform and prosper policy adopted by corporate India. Relationship between financial rewards and performance. Relationship between promotion and performance. Relationship between non-financial rewards and performance. Other key factors impacting employee performance. Establishment of linkage of rewards to team performance. Right? It further concludes with the following points: managing rewards, differentiate and recognize high performance and potential, total rewards optimization, building irresistible organization, and concern for Indian companies over annual performance pay increase. Key guiding principles for right performance measure. If I want to measure performance properly, accurately, there are certain principles, certain guiding principles which I need to follow. Understand clearly what results I want. I'm just reading through, it's very easy to understand. What benchmarks results would be? What is my benchmark? What do I want to achieve at my best? The individual's ability to influence results. Establish clear targets of performance which warrants merit pay. The measurement of results should be rock solid. The individual's ability to influence results. Every human being, when he's working, his output, his attitude, his behavior, his interactions, his socialization, they affect the results that he produces. That is what is meant by individual's ability to influence results. Right? Relevance of performance feedback for employees. How is it important for employees? They give a feedback. It's an opportunity to receive constructive feedback with reference to the job performance on previously established goals and the areas where improvement is required. In short, they know where they currently stand. Self-development. Based on the current situation, areas of improvement can be identified. New goals can be set for the employee along with the development plan to reskill and upskill to reach the goals. It forms a source of feedback. It provides feedback. It helps them to feel heard, valued, build trust, and improves two-way communication. It also is a platform for employee recognition rewards. Best performers get better pay, bonus and other benefits. It further helps in assessing talent status. At what level your talent is developed? Can I do something more than that? It's easy to identify the underperformers and decide whether you want to retain or train them to improve the performance or let them go. It increases engagement of the employees. Obviously, it helps in assessing recruitment needs. The overall statistics from the appraisals can be used to evaluate, monitor the success of the organization recruitment induction practices. I know that my organization has got X number of employees. And I also know that some of them are underperformers. I may have to ask them to go. Some of the underperformers, I may retrain them. And the good performers, I need to keep them performing good. Now, this will involve certain people leaving the organization and we need to induct certain people in the company. That is where the recruitment needs also becomes a part of the PMS, right? It assesses the overall training needs. Organizations can assess individuals and department weaknesses, then identify areas which may require additional training and support. I spoke about OD in one of the chapters, organizational development. Here we talk about the importance of identifying scopes for improvement with the individual, with the department, with the division and the organization, from the micro to the macro. Now every unit, whether it's an individual, the department, the division or the whole organization, every one of them has got certain weaknesses. Working on the weakness is developing on them. So at the individual level, I need to develop you. At the departmental level, there may be weakness which I need to further develop. At the division level, I may have a weakness which I need to further develop, and at the organization level. So one is at the lowest level of the individual, the unitary person, and then at the macro level of the organization. Now this is an overall OD development, organization development. Now, please remember that just by developing an employee is not enough. The organization weakness should also be done away with. I know companies, they spend a lot of money in developing individuals. They develop the individuals and the individuals leave the company and they could join competitors. So these company HR people tell me our company has become a training school. We train people for other companies and they wonder why things are going wrong. When you look closely, you realize that they are training people, but they do not have a proper policy to retain them. So there is a weakness at the top wherein they do not have a policy. They say something at the bottom and they do something else at the top. When I pointed this out to the senior management, they were quite, first they didn't agree. Then I made them go through a number of sittings with me. Informal sittings where I opened up objectively as to why things are not happening. Then they realized that when we are developing these people, we are spending so much of time and money on their resources, but we are not also following their footsteps of going through our own changes. And they had to go through a set of changes. Then they realized that the only way to retain people is to see that we are aligning themselves with their new status of developed people. When a person develops, he is definitely looking for a different environment. And if you don't provide environment, he will run away. So all the four levels are important. The unitary level, the individual, the department, the division, and the whole organization. Now that is where this comes into picture. Assess the overall training needs. And if you ask me, where does training begin? Training begins at the top. Training begins at the top, it has to go to the next and the next and finally comes to the unitary level. Or have a training which is all encompassing. Everybody has to get trained at the same time. And it is an investment of sorts because it's an investment that will definitely give you good returns in the long run in terms of very good intellectual capital in the company. Right? Management expectation of optimal outcome of the performance management framework. I want to bring out the best in the performance management which I am creating for my company. What are my expectations as a manager? What are my expectations as the owner of the board of directors? It creates a high performance culture with more engaged employees who stay in the company. Their expectation is that it will create a high performance culture. A culture in which people are willing to perform very high and produce results. The result of more frequent communication is the ability to address in real-time performance areas that can be improved, measured and developed if skill gaps exist. Real-time, underline the word real-time. Like I spoke about in performance appraisal, It is not something that happens once in a blue moon, once in a year or something. It's going on regularly. Since it's going on regularly, this frequent communication brings about changes and corrections quite often, which means in the long run, the person is working in line with the expectations of the top management. Real-time continuous feedback encourages collaboration, gives development discussions more meaning, and provides a process for giving and requesting targeted feedback. This we already know. Now, perform and prosper policy of corporate India. This is the author has made this table. It's about the time of writing the book. These companies on the left-hand side had these pay and prosper policies on the right-hand side. I just read through them. These must have changed by now at the time of my giving this particular talk. Right? Just to take a few of them, Flipkart, variable bonus double that of average performer. Godrej consumer products, 70% higher in both increments and bonus. Tata Motors best employees get 15 to 20% increments as opposed to 10% for average employees and bonus 50 to 100% more for more than average employees. Aon Hewitt consulting company, double increments for higher performance. If you take a Panasonic India, 7 to 8% hike in average and 15 to 18% for higher performance. RPG Group, annual increments and bonuses purely in performance, also recognition schemes. Just to name a few. But like I told you, at the time of writing the book, it was this. Right now, it must have changed. Just to give an idea how companies have got a culture of having a pay and perform and prosper. When you perform, you get what is called a variable pay, which is linked to your performance. And that makes you go higher. 6 creative ways to reward best performing employees, as given by this author. Acknowledge their work. Ask their colleagues for recommendations. Give them a day off. Put it to the vote. Send them to different office. Go on a cruise or a trip. Whatever came to his mind, he has written it down. There are various ways of doing it. In short, allow the employee to be freely ventilating himself. You must give him the freedom to think very freely. So these are things which make him feel happy. Ask him to go for a cruise or putting him into the boat, give him a day off. All these things are some of the initiatives. There are many more. You can write on your own list over and above this. Other key factors impacting employee performance: demographic, intrinsic and extrinsic rewards. Demographic, intrinsic rewards and extrinsic rewards. Independent variables. That means the key factors that are affecting an employee's performance are based on demographic. Demographic means the population at large, the whole of India, the whole of the nation, whole of the state, whole of the city. There's demographic. In the demographic, what are the factors affecting the employee performance? The gender, male gender or female gender. That is an impact. It's a variable, independent variable. That means it is a variable that will affect or not affect. Now one can't say that, you know, X gender, this gender will perform better, that perform not perform better. No. Gender has a bearing on the performance. On certain functions, ladies are much better than men. In certain other functions, men are much better than ladies. There is nothing like an equality or an inequality. Certain functions, certain genders do better because of their demands of their society, of their home and other places where they are not working. Right? Age. It is popularly believed that younger people give better output, need not be. It is popularly believed that older people will be sluggish, need not be. But it does have an bearing on the performance. Education, qualification or degree, it matters to an extent. Beyond a point, it doesn't matter. Work experience, again, people say more experienced people are more performance maintained, not need not be. These are all indicators, okay? These are all checklists, but they are not always true, right? And then the position you're holding. Better demographic. Next comes intrinsic rewards. Intrinsic rewards are the ones which are within me, what I feel inside me, what is called a satisfaction. So the empowerment which I feel inside me, the identification and appreciation which I feel inside me, the delegation that is given to me, work is allocated to me by my senior, that's called a delegation. Okay, pay and salary, these are the intrinsic things which are making me feel glad inside me. Extrinsic is outside me. Promotion, bonus, fringe benefits, what the company gives me. So all these three put together is supposed to impact your employee performance. and the dependent variable is all these things are giving there. If you see, there are yellow lines which are practically invisible. They are taking you towards employee performance. Very simple. Okay. Taking it again. Growth-driven model for appropriate rewards system. Make it relevant for business. If I want a proper reward system, it should be relevant for the business. For example, a reward system in a manufacturing unit, like an automobile unit, may not be applicable as a reward system in a service sector, like an insurance company or a bank. Because the nature of work is different, so we must have a reward system which is different. Within the banking industry itself, between bank A and bank B, reward system will be different because each has got a different culture of working. Please understand this very clearly. You can't say that one reward system which is working in bank A can be replicated in another bank. No. Even if they are competitors at the same level, no. So every reward system is unique to the company's business and you should make it relevant. Make it relevant for people who are working there. So I am working long hours, creative job, and I must get something relevant to my creative work. Another person is working for long hours, but he's not doing a creative job. So for the non-creative work, you have to have a different type of a reward. Okay. Communicate effectively. Very important. Free open communication on time, not later on. When it happens there and then you communicate. Don't stop. Don't wait. Differentiate and recognize. You must sift the chaff from the grain. The expression says sift, S-I-F-T, the chaff, C-H-A-F-F, from the grain. Okay, that means you must know this is a performer, these are non-performers. So this is something you must do and then recognize that this is a potential in a person. There are three types of people, performers, non-performers and the potentials. Potentials are the ones who are the most important to be recognized because they have the quality in them and you must pull it out of the system, right? Imbibe good governance, ensure that what you talk from the top is transparent, trustworthy, true. Okay, people have to trust whatever you're saying. Don't say something and do something else. Don't do illegal activities and try to cover up by giving some bribe to people. That is not good governance. Corporate governance is a term called corporate governance. You must learn to follow that. Okay, showcase results. Whenever results are coming, display, tell people this is what we have done. It is important to tell people that what we have done. Employees and also the world outside. Right? Make it relevant for business, align rewards philosophy with the business objectives, pay for performance. Now they have elaborated that made for relevant business in one full slide. So I'm reading it out. Okay. Focusing employees' efforts in the right direction through variable pay, staying relevant in the long term, communication the long term incentives as part of annual compensation plan, independent and transparent decision making, clear line of sight, how and the degree to which they impact the metrics that determine the payouts. In short, whatever the person is doing, it should be relevant to his own growth, the short-term growth of the company and the long-term growth of the company. So all that is required, you need to put into place, right? Making flexible benefit program work. Transition from rationalized to flexible structures. Flexibility provided in reward structure is mainly tax-related, employee life stage, lifestyle-induced, external flexibility to work arrangements, mother's retire, etc. What is essentially being told is, give something which is making the person go around his own other part of your life. You've got four zones of your life, you know, work zone, spiritual zone, intimate zone, and social zone. We are discussing work zone in this predominantly, but there are other zones of your life which are impacting the work. So ensure that those are also enabled, those are also given certain amount of comforts. That's what it means, right? Differentiate and recognize high performance and potential, differentiate pay for performance and potential, encourage and reinforce desired employee behaviors that would through differentiated recognition practices, which means if a person is doing a good job and his attitude is good, he deserves to be paid more. So when I pay more, the other person who's not doing the same thing will recognize, hey, I should also do it. It's more of a healthy competition within the company, right? Imbibe good governance, continuously monitor and measure results, keen focus on benchmarking and monitoring manpower and productivity. Steps in calculating top performer differential. Now, what do you mean by top performer differential? There's a top performer who's doing a very good job. We are paying him very well. We are rewarding him very well. His performance is super class. That's a benchmark. Now, there's a difference between him and the person below him, all the people below him. Right? So he is the standard of the norm. Below him are the other people. Now this is called the differential. Differential is what he does and what the others do. This differential is what we are discussing here. Right? Average output per employee. These are some calculations you need to do. What's the average output per employee? Suppose the number of employees are 100. So each one's output divided by 100 will be the average output per employee. One part of it. The same employee is working over a period of say 30 days in a month. So average employee will be 30 days. Each day's output divided by number of, by 30. Depending upon what's the frame of reference. Right? Top performer output. I've got the figure. Top performer output. Top performer increase factor. Now how much increase he does in his output every year, year after year, periodically. These are terms that can be best understood by you when you meet up a consultant who does this job of creating PMS. They'll be able to tell you better, right? Revenue versus output. My job is generating a revenue X for the company. And what is my output? My output is Y. So X revenue for the company is coming because of my output Y. This ratio is a very important ratio. So I must increase my Y to Y plus 1, Y plus 2, Y plus 3 so that the revenue X will start increasing to X plus 1, X plus 2, X plus 3. So everybody's output is connected with the revenue, individual revenue which they're providing, which is a part of the total revenue of the company. Right? Revenue increase for top performers. Value different between top and average performers and other jobs. Add other jobs. Okay? Characteristics of high performance teams. Now there's this terminology which we use in management. High performance team. There's a subject, elective subject in some management colleges. High performance behavior. Okay? Now high performance teams are supposed to be having these characteristics. Shared vision. Everybody shares the same vision. A typical competitive sports event like a cricket match, the Indian cricket team can be considered as a high performance team because all of them shared a vision, today's team, not earlier days. Okay, shared vision, they are time oriented, the effective communication takes place, zone of concerns are also common. Okay, they review quality, they involve everyone, they are self-directed and celebrate success. They live like in one organic body as if it's one single human being. Okay. So that's a high performance team. Now high performance is not, again I'm repeating, high performance is not the measurable alone. High performance in terms of behavior, values, quality, etc., 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 plus the tangibles. Many times we have seen cricket match on the TV, right? Now we come across team A and team B playing a cricket match. And we are the last over. Team A is a good team and team A has done an excellent job, no doubt. They've piled up a good score. Let's say it's an ODI, One Day International. So team A has done a good role and they've piled up something like say 290 or 300 runs, plus runs. Now the team B is batting like crazy. They also slog it out and they're almost come to that point. Now everybody likes team A. Everybody likes team A. We all have our biases, right? Now team B is batting and what happens is team B wins the match. Team B wins the match. What will right-minded people say? They'll say team A's performance was superb. So that is a typical indication which tells you performance of A was definitely superior. B won the match. Now winning, unfortunately, is only the runs. Let's say team A made 320 runs. This one made 321 and won the match. On the book, in the scoreboard, team B has won the match for all practical purposes. Do you all agree? I'm sure, right? But any sensible person who sees the bigger picture, this is where performance management system comes. If I see the bigger picture, I say team A is superlative. Team A might have lost this match, but they have a potential to be a high performance team. There was a time long back under the captaincy of Steve Waugh, Australian team was a high performance team. A high performance team doesn't win all the matches all the time. High performance team has got an attitude of winning. They got the ingredients of a winning team. And winning is all about attitude, behavior, etc. Not just the figures. In the film Chak De India, what does Shah Rukh Khan do? He creates a high performance team. He develops attitudes, behaviors, values in the whole team to talk like one. The previous slide which I read. Everybody should be, and that is got a potential to win. Whatever be the obstacle, they'll know to surmount it. Now, organizations look for this. As a trainer, I use these films to, in corporate training, to drive home the fact that the company should be a high performance team oriented. I hope it's clear now, right? So let me take it further. How do I evaluate team performance? Establish urgency and direction. A good leader will say, I want it now. I want it now. And direction, I want it now and it should be in this direction. Select members based on skills and skill potential, not on corruption or nepotism. If you perform, you're in. If you don't perform, you're out. Skills potential. He has the potential to perform. I know he'll do good as a wicketkeeper. Let me keep him behind and let me select him. Potential. It's there in you, right? Pay particular attention to first meeting and actions. The very first time when you meet people, assess them and see how good they are. And then learn to take it further. Set clear rules of behavior. This is what Shah Rukh Khan does in Chak De India. When the girls are coming into the field, into the ground, what's your name? I'm so and so from this particular, I'm from Punjab, I'm from Maharashtra. Only one girl says I'm from India. That's the behavior. He wants everybody to talk one language, that we are one country, not different states. That word itself is very important to understand. When you say you're an Indian, it's different from the way you say I'm a Tamilian or a Maharashtrian or a UP fellow. Do you agree? Now that is where the whole thing starts. I'm a trainer in NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. There we lay the emphasis on the words. Every word that I say impacts your neurons and your inner climate. And Shah Rukh actually does that. He sets up a climate for a winning team. And that is what he says. Clear rules of behavior. I am the boss because I am the coach. That's not arrogance. Because if somebody is not a leader, nobody will be a leader. Remember that. Somebody has to be a leader. And when you're a leader, if you're a leader of 10 people, 5 people will hate you, 5 people will like you. But you're not there for popularity. You're there to achieve the goal. Remember that. The 5 who hate you, if they understand what you're doing, over a period of time, they start liking you. The purpose is not to like, is to be liked or hated. The purpose is to fulfill the goal. And that comes only by high performance teams. Right? Set performance oriented tasks and goals. Challenge the group regularly with fresh facts and information. Spend a lot of time together. Exploit the power of positive feedback, recognition, rewards. A good coach or a good leader will keep on raising the bar. I'll ask you to make 100. You can, right now you're making only 50. 100 is not possible. I'll show you how to make, and you'll make 100. When you make 100, after some days they'll say, now I want 150. So he keeps on pushing. A matured player will say, yes, I think he's making me push to my performance, higher performance. He's making me a champion. But an immature person will say, I can't take it anymore and he'll run away. Choice is yours. Right? Total rewards optimization is a terminology which we use in rewards management. Deploying TRO as a tool to maximize return on investment ensures fine balance between business objectives and employee aspirations. Tricky thing? I'll simplify it. When I say that I'm having a TRO in my company, you're an employee X. This employee X is working for the company with a lot of engagement, emotional engagement. He or she is working, producing results which are measured and results which are not measured. Attitudes can't be measured. Behaviors can't be measured. Value systems can't be measured. But these are in line with the company's attitudes, behaviors and value system. He or she produces results which are also expected by the company. Okay, so his results is a combination of two, measurable and immeasurable. Total rewards optimization means I want to reward him by taking all the things he's doing, which is a part of his achievement, his performance. And I link it with the company's achievement. The company is one big human being, let us assume. That one big human being has got some behaviors and some performance. Imagine the company to be one big human being it's got its own behavior and it's got its own achievement, measurable. You are a unit called an employee. You also have your behavior and your achievement. Now these two are linked. And then if what the company behaves is what you behave, that is optimization. If the company's results are a macro of your results, that's optimization. Which means you are going in line with the company's objectives. That is what it means. Right? Deploying TRO as a tool to maximize return on investment ensures a fine balance between business objectives and employee aspirations. My aspirations, my needs, my motivation. Right? So building a differentiated reward strategy, don't just add programs after programs. You know, there are strategic program, do this, do that, do that. Remove some program which are not there, which are not to be done. Optimize it. In an optimization, what are we doing? We are removing the unwanted things and we keep the ones which are going to enhance you. If, for example, I have a behavior wherein, let's say that I tend to become sluggish after 3 o'clock. Lunch is over and the 3 o'clock time is little sluggish, then 3 to 4 and I am very sluggish. Now that is, at that point of time, if something is asked to be done by me, I won't be able to do it. I'm not doing it. Of course, I have to develop myself to become less sluggish after 3 o'clock. That's a separate issue. Right now, what should I do? Optimize my output in such a way that give me the best work, creative work to do before 3 o'clock or after 4 o'clock maybe. So this is more like fitting in the behavior with the organization's output. Good management has got an open culture wherein they allow you to work in such a way that the best in you comes out in line with the organization's needs. Create, don't copy. Competitor A is doing something, I am B, so I just simply copy the same system. It doesn't work, sorry, because you are different, he's different. Your culture is different, their culture is different. Make use of money, but not only money. Money is a motivator, but up to a point. Beyond that, money doesn't motivate. Allow mechanisms to evolve and build an integrated set. This is beautiful. I love this. What do you mean by this? Everything has to build up organically on its own. Somebody has made something, I start using it, it's not original. Let me build something original. When I teach innovation management, when I take trainings on innovation management, I tell people, start building from scratch. A few things are given to them on the table, come on, start building something, make a ship, make an aircraft. Nothing, very few things are given. So that person puts his ideas. And in performance management systems, friends, ideas, innovation, creativity are given huge weightage. Because those are the ones which you have with you as your capital, intellectual capital. Those are the ones that are going to carry the company to the higher heights. Today you may perform 100 units. Tomorrow you may not perform 100 units. But your capital remains within you. These which are not measurable. The focus, emphasis is there. Okay? Building irresistible organization. Building an organization which people want to work. I want to work here. Irresistible. It's so lovely. I can't resist this. I want to work only there. Even if they don't pay me money, I'll work. There are people who say this. Right? So what are the key issues? Expanding the thinking about what engagement means. They must know what is engagement. Engagement simply means I'm emotionally attached with what I do. I'm so much into it. I feel it's mine. Take sense of belongingness. Apnapan. Right? Need tools and methods to measure and capture employee feedback. You must have certain means by which you are able to take feedback from people and put it in a certain measurable form. Raise employee engagement to a HR program to a core business strategy. Employee engagement is seen as an HR department's work. No. Employee engagement is an all-encompassing organization strategy. So wherever the person is planted, you may do a back office job. You may sit at the back and do some clerical job. Such people are not supposed to be talking to many people because they, by nature, they are doing only back office. They are very quiet. They'll only talk to 2 or 3 people. And we do not know whether they're employee engaged or not. Now, such a person sitting at the back, if he or she is employee engaged, what they'll do? They'll take interest in many things. They may do their job, but they feel nice doing whatever they're doing and they start seeing their job from a larger picture. Now that is raise employee engagement to HR program to a core business strategy. It's a core business strategy. Our company's core business strategy, one of the things we need to do is see that everybody's employee engaged. So give the right job to the right person, not the right person for the right job. Right? A table given here, just to give you a snapshot about how it is. Meaningful work, autonomy, select to fit, small, empowered teams, and time for Slack. Hands-on management. Hands-on management means everybody is a manager there, like an autonomous team. Okay. Clear, transparent coaching. Investment in management development, modern performance management. Positive work environment gives you flexible work environment, humanistic workplace, culture of recognition, inclusive and diverse work environment, growth opportunity, trust and leadership. Now, what this says, this whole table is trying to tell us is, these are some of the points depending upon which type of parameter you are focusing on. If you are focusing on hands-on management, then clear, transparent goals, coaching, investment, management development, and modern performance management works. So, look at this particular chart from the viewpoint of the horizontal ones, meaningful work, hands-on management, positive work environment, growth opportunity, leadership, trust. These are the parameters on which a good organization built. So for each of the parameters, what are the different things that are coming, that are going vertically? So mix and match them and you know where you stand, right? Elements of irresistible organization. It makes work meaningful. It fosters greater management practices. It guides, supports, and aligns employees. Establishes a flexible, humane, inclusive workplace. Creates ample opportunities for growth. Establish vision, purpose, and transparency in leadership. Right? Practices of irresistible organization. What are the things they practice? First and foremost, I love this first sentence. I love it. All of you will agree that most of the organizations, they give you so much of information, flashy messages. They don't make things simple. Simplicity is a focus. Simplicity is a hallmark of a good organization, which is irresistible. I love some of my clients for whom I do training. Some of them fall in this category. Simple to work with, but they're doing lofty things. They're big brands, but very simple way of working. What they say, they do, and what they do, they say. Okay? Focus on simplicity at work. Capturing real-time feedback. Real-time feedback means a thing has happened now. Right now, take the feedback and give the feedback. Putting employee engagement at center of everything that we do. Whatever I do, employee engagement is at the center. If that is not there, what we do is should not be done. It's very simple. Rewarding high-performance team and pay for performance. Right performance matters most. False security of hard. Of hard work measures, false security of hard measures. What is hard measures? There are two measures, hard and soft measures, or hardware and software as you call it. Hard measures are the figures. Soft measures are the attitudes, behaviors, etc., which can't be measured. So don't give a false security by giving only hard measures, 100 units, 200 units, measurable month, you know, something more than that. Trends in variable pay and watching the market. These are some of the points. Rewarding high performance team, key considerations. Work should be structured based on customer needs. Let me add something here, which I teach in operations management. We have a subject called world-class manufacturing. And in that, one of the things we talk about is modern organizations are working, keeping the customer in mind throughout. Everybody in the organization has to keep the customer in mind, including the security, including the canteen fellow, including the peon. So if everybody starts saying that my work is going to make my customer happy, my company customer, that is the attitude we are talking about today. So here, all work is structured based on customer needs. If I'm doing something and that is not going to benefit the customer, it goes through chain, goes to various people, right? If it's not useful to any customer, that work need not be done. So work is structured based on customer needs. Training program should be provided to move to new levels, obviously. Reward should be based on productivity and performance. Employees should get more responsibility as they become ready for them, right? No waiting for attrition or wearing out of the team. Attrition means people joining and leaving the organization in numbers. Employee turnover is one of the biggest curses today with many companies, especially IT companies, BPOs and banking companies. We got attrition alarmingly high. In service sector, attrition is very high. So a good organization will ensure by good practices to reduce attrition, if not make it zero, so that the company retains them and people don't wear out, right? Cross training and different levels of skill should be required. This is what is called multitasking, interdisciplinary training. So cross skilling. I'm a mechanical engineer by qualification. Now I get trained into, let's say, something to do with production, something to do with marketing, and then later on something to do with finance. So this cross-skilling is very important. It's happening today, right? Job responsibility should emphasize results and not tasks or techniques. Job responsibility should emphasize results and not tasks or techniques. How you do it? Did you do this first? Did you do that second? That's not important. Have you done it? Is it in line with the policies and the ethics of the company? Okay. Because each one is unique. Each one will do the same task differently. Now, if you're going to pin them down saying that it should be done this way, you're restricting the person from putting his creativity into the work. Right? New pay system to reward high performance teams. Focus on the mission of the company. Team based but employee focused. Market driven. Allow for strategic decision at the employee level. Control growth of the base pay. Compatible with the market of the industry or pay structure. Now, all these 6 points put together is only telling you one simple thing. Your pay is not controlled only by you and what you do. It is controlled by how you are contributing to the company, how your team is contributing. All these things are taken into account. At the same time, careful consideration is given to the fact that your pay every year has to go through a certain amount of increase. So it is taking overall everything into account. But these factors are very important. Market driven. Automobile companies in US especially. The people are working in the automobile units, manufacturing automobiles. Their pay goes up and down depending upon the market. If the market, the demand for automobiles come down, which happened about a couple of years back, all the people, they get a low pay, reduced pay, or they are asked to even, they are retrenched. They are laid off. Okay? That is market driven. So today, everything is market driven. It was not so years ago, before 1991, before liberalization. Okay? Provide fair incentives for high-level executives to meet customer needs. Differentiate between levels of performance. Eliminate the one-size-fits-all mentality or strategy. That's the last one is very good. One glove doesn't fit all. Each one is different. So depending upon each one's capabilities and outputs with respect to the company's needs, we have to have different variable systems of doing things. It sounds very weird. There's no standardization, it may appear. It is not so. The system is standardized in such a way that people get rewarded proportionately well, optimally well. Right? Pay for performance key considerations. Introducing differentiated reward structures where available rewards increasingly go to the top performers and high potentials, those critical to the survival of the business and now and in the future. There's a lot of debate going on this. Top management, CEOs, vice presidents of large companies are being disproportionately high, many feel. They're being paid a huge amount of money and the people who are below that, not much. And the people below that, absolutely pathetic. This is an accusation that comes. Now, there are two parts of the story. One part of the story is this what we are discussing. The people who are holding very key positions in organizations are holding very critical posts. If they perform, they are rewarded. If they don't perform, they are punished very severely. They are kicked out of the company. That's how it's operating in good cultures, in very good, strong cultures. But majority of the organizations, unfortunately, as we see them, very high pace at very high levels. Many of them are not taking accountability. Many of them are not taking the responsibility of things going wrong. And the brunt is passed on to the people at the bottom, middle and bottom. That is where the criticism goes against them. So, paying them for the risk they are taking for the critical job is perfectly okay, but it should happen properly structured and properly monitored by a body that monitors them well. Right? The people at the bottom who don't get paid, they must be told that they are being paid as per their PMS system, which is fair and square. This communication is not happening properly. This communication is not happening properly. There are companies who are fair and square at all levels. Down below, X is being paid compensation. Above that, it is X square. Above that, it is X cube. Now, X cube is so high that X person saying that I'm doing so much, I'm not getting anything. But if you look at it from the PMS point of view, it's perfect. The only problem, the only sad part of it is companies are not communicating this top down and communicating this part of it properly so that people realize whatever I'm performing with my attitude, I'm getting paid that much. If I increase my attitudes and my performance and go higher from X, I'll become X square. And from X square, I'll become X cube provided I go to the larger domain. One of the trainings I do is this to educate people, to train people to go from X square to X cube or from X to X square. Because that is an area where not many people are really understanding what they're doing. Companies don't understand how they need to communicate. And they're all wondering why attrition is taking place. Because you're not communicating properly that they're being paid properly. That the whole languaging has to change. Then things happen. Right? Building the line management skills in setting goals, coaching performances and recognizing and rewarding performance. Clarifying definitions of performance. You have to clarify definitions of performance. Like I said, it will be very clearly telling them that their performance is like a pie chart. In the pie, there are sections. This section is for tangible, this is for intangible, this is for this, this is for this. Very clearly must say that. And keep on calibrating and giving them feedback periodically. Very simple. Balancing individual and enterprise targets for bonuses, obviously. Aligning individual targets to overall strategy. Making greater use of multiple rewards. Mixing short and long-term incentives with the motivational stimulus of better career developments and varied and interesting work. In short, ensuring that the motivation part of it is kept alive, both individually and also at the organization's level. Short-term as well as medium-term as well as long-term. Short-term incentive structuring key considerations. Linking bonuses to medium and long-term targets that support sustainability in organization performance over the long-term. Bonuses given to you when the company makes profits, and these profits are, the part of it is given to you. That's what technically it is. Now, you have to link the bonus with medium and long-term targets. You have done a short-term performance. You have stayed with the company for 6 months or 1 year. That's a short-term, you have done something. I'm going to give you a bonus, but I'll ask for a target for you from medium to long-term. Fair enough. One way of doing it. Ensuring that bonuses are properly funded with a focus on growing the bottom line as a main driver. I'm giving you a bonus, but your role is to see that the bottom line, profits, which is the outcome of the sales top line, has properly taken care of. And you must commit to that by a set of things which you need to do. Balancing individual and enterprise performance and designing bonuses. Simplifying programs in particularly by reducing the number and the variety of bonus schemes. There are bonus schemes. I'm not explaining all that. This comes under a different subject called performance management, compensation management. Okay, there it's all explained. So these bonus schemes have to be designed in such a way that they are motivating the short-term gainers to look at the medium and the long-term gaining. And they need to stay there for doing that, obviously. Clarifying and communicating the intent and the design of the variable pay. Concerns of Indian companies over annual performance pay increase. Increase focus on talent and merit. Maintain low attrition rate. This is what they are supposed to do, but it's not happening. Okay. That brings us to the end of this session. A very enriching session in terms of understanding that the performance management system and the reward systems are very intricately interwoven. The reward systems, my dear friends, after listening to this session, please ensure that you don't look at the reward system from a linear point of view. Look at your own reward that you're getting from the organizational point of view and from all the factors which I've spoken about. This is just a small reading from the textbook, but those of you who are passionate about knowing more about it, there are enough of material available in the net, and please refer to such very good books which will give you this thing. Most importantly, I want all of you to read books which measure behavior into measurable metrics. Because that is where the changes take place. And there are books which give you how these measurable metrics from the behavior are converted into rewards compensation. Okay, friends, wish you all the best. God bless.